your host for a socially responsible investing show, and I want to get to know you. Our show is about investing. We're looking for companies that are doing well and are good investments for us right now, strong dividend-paying companies. We're also looking for up-and-coming areas of investments, good, strong industries that are growing and may become more and more attractive as time goes by. We also want to talk about finding balance in finance, and in so doing, we'll be able to describe what investing is and what it is not. I want to give you my website address, and if you're not otherwise engaged right now, such as driving a car, go to my website. It's www.michaelwmullins.com. That's www.michaelwmullins.com. On my homepage, you'll see my picture, and you'll see a line that says, "Who is Mike Mullins and how do I meet him?" Take 2 minutes and view my personal video. If you'll do that, it's 137 seconds long. You'll have a better sense of who I am and what I might have to say that would be of benefit to you. I'm live on AM 950 every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. The topic is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. Today, our topic is going to be the bones of socially responsible investing. Last week, we talked about the more basic concept of investing itself, what it is and what it is not. And last week, I drew a little picture in the air. And for those of you that have access to a piece of paper and a writing utensil, if you didn't listen last week, take a moment and do this little quick exercise with me. If you can imagine drawing a bullseye, you have the circle in the middle, and then you have another ring on the outside, and then you have another ring around that ring. Now you have a bullseye. It looks a lot like a local company's logo, whose name I will not mention on the air because it's free promotion for them, etc. In the middle of the bullseye, write the letter B as in baseball. In the next ring out, write C as in Charlie, comma. Don't write comma, just make a comma. And R as in rascal. In the other ring, write the letter I. Now, this is what most people's money life is like. The B stands for your budget. That's your lifestyle. That's how you pay for yourself and your family as you go. The second ring out, C, R, is cash and reserves. The cash and reserves part of your life really only has one role, and that's to support your lifestyle. That's not the place to maximize returns. It's not the place to put stocks. It's not the place to put any long-term investment like real estate, because you need to be able to get at that money quickly, cheaply, or free, and when you need it. The last ring out, the I, is actually where your investing money goes. That's the money that you invest in things like stocks, long-term bonds, those kinds of things which need time to add value and go up in value for you, okay? So that's the basic idea of what investing is. I'd like to concentrate this week on talking about the bones of socially responsible investing, what it is and what it isn't. But before I get into that, I need to define a little bit about who this show is for and who it's not for. If making money from investing is just money that you want to make, you might tell your investment advisor, look, just make the money. I don't need a lot of detail. You decide what I'm going to be in. I don't really want to know. Well, you might be accidentally becoming a fan of the Madoff and Petters method of we'll just get the money wherever we can get it. If that's your attitude about investing, if you just want to get the money and you don't really care where it comes from or whether or not it does any good, this show is not for you. I mean, feel free to stick around and listen. Maybe we can expand your horizons. But if you're the kind of a person that thinks that making money from investments is something where you can do well while you're doing good, well, welcome to the show. You're the kind of person we want to talk to and talk with and hear from. And here's just a little quote that I've got that I thought was very nice. Social investors share an intent to act responsibly with their money, to try to achieve social objectives while reaching their financial aims. As I say, if we can do well at the same time that we can do some good, why not? Now, this show is going to touch on several things kind of consecutively. We have four chapters to the show. In the first chapter, we're going to review quickly the state of the market. We're going to talk about consumer confidence. We're going to take a quick look at news having to do with socially responsible investing. We're going to review the bones of socially responsible investing, our front burner topic this week. In our second segment, our second chapter, we have an interview with Peter DeSimone, who is the Director of Programs for the Social Investment Forum in Washington, D.C. That's upcoming. In the third chapter, we'll answer some emailed questions that we have that in this week, they have a lot to do with people's 401ks. And in the fourth chapter, we'll talk about the investment opportunities for socially responsible investing. And that pretty much is going to be the model for our shows going forward as we started last week. And we'll just week by week, we'll be having a different topic. Next week's topic is about gold and investing in gold. And we have an interview with an expert named Stephen Walker, who was the director of mining research for RBC Capital Markets in Toronto. The following week, 2 weeks from now, our show will be about water. It'll be about fresh water and the water crisis we're facing in the world. In both the case of gold investing next week and water investing, if you will, the following week, we'll be talking about where to go to find value in those areas. For now, I want to encourage you, if you're out and about, stop over at Dunn Brothers by the library. It's one of our sponsors. Ken and Sharon are probably not in today because I hope they're at home listening to the show. But otherwise, this is a great place to go. You'll find that that area, that coffee shop, is such a nice environment for anyone that wants to go in and have a conversation with friends. If you do networking, as I do with a lot of people, that's a great place to meet. It's not noisy, which is a big change for a lot of coffee houses that are seem to be tucked into small and narrow little spaces, and they grind those beans, and oh my goodness, you can't hear yourself think. So Dunn Brothers by the library, please go visit them and support them. Now, quickly about the markets this last week. U.S. stocks rose for the week. The S&P 500 index on Thursday peaked at its highest level since October 2008. A little bit of a pullback yesterday, down from a 17-month high as a drop in consumer confidence overshadowed an unexpected increase in retail sales. And Michael Mullaney, who manages money at Fiduciary Trust in Boston, said, "It looks like confidence is beginning to wane. Confidence is going to suffer until we get real improvements on the job front." In addition, the stock market is a little bit extended right now. A minor pullback wouldn't be surprising. In the business week, consumer sentiment has basically been flat for the past 3 months. However, after the much better than expected retail sales data that was released on Friday, yesterday, it is quite clear that lackluster consumer confidence does not keep consumers from actual spending. We suspect confidence will recover as we begin to see a turn in the labor market. And rarely have stock prices risen as rapidly as they have over the past year, and not in recent decades has such a rise been viewed with as much suspicion as this one. The 70% gain in the S&P 500 stock index from mid-March to this mid-March is greater than any similar move since the Great Depression, when share prices bounced wildly after hitting record lows. Consumer confidence figures, which have been around since the late 1960s, also show widespread skepticism. The Consumer Confidence Index, calculated by the Conference Board, is at an extraordinarily low level. And last month, only 6.2% of people surveyed by the board said business conditions were good. That is the lowest level ever recorded. It is a Wall Street adage that bull markets climb a wall of worry, and that wall is very, very high right now. A little brief news from the socially responsible investing front. On March 9, it was reported that more than 60 companies voluntarily adopted annual shareholder votes on executive compensation. The adoption by companies of policies allowing annual shareholders to vote on executive compensation, which is now called Say on Pay, has been hotly contested. And 60 companies have now voluntarily adopted giving their shareholders an annual advisory vote on executive compensation. And this is something that is extremely, extremely important in the conversation about socially responsible investing these days. Now, quickly, there are two words I have for you regarding socially responsible investing: value and values. When we talk about value in investing, socially responsible investing has three basic prongs. One is the value-based approach, and it seeks to align to the extent possible an investor's portfolio holdings with his or her beliefs. The second is value-seeking. It seeks to identify social and environmental criteria which may affect financial performance and therefore share price. And finally, value enhancing, where investors in this camp use the techniques of shareholder activism and engagement to maintain or increase the financial value of their investments. Wow. I mean, reading definitions like this just kind of, gives you the mind freeze a little bit. The one that I think is the most appropriate for the way I look at things is the value-seeking approach. And in that approach, what we're looking for is companies that have what's called a sustainable business model. More about that in future shows. This is a place where we can most easily find investment prospects. We are looking for market return on investments or better. And fund managers are primarily the ones that primarily use this style, the value-seeking style. Now, in the next chapter, we're going to have a conversation with Peter DeSimone. As I said, he is the director of programs for the Social Investment Forum in Washington, D.C. The Social Investment Forum is, the website is socialinvestmentforum.org. It's a very good source for conversation. It's a nonprofit clearinghouse for a number of companies who are members. They have over 500 members. Many of those are mutual fund companies. Actually, they have 22 mutual fund companies that are members. A lot of foundations, endowments, pension fund managers, mutual fund companies, and the like. And it's a pretty high-level discussion a lot of times there. Another site you can go to on my website under the Ethical and Sustainable Investing tab is going to be the socialforum.com. And on that site, you can read, socialfunds.com. And again, this is a good clearinghouse for conversation about socially responsible investing. When we come back, Peter DeSimone, the Director of Programs for the Social Investment Forum, and we'll be right back.
It's never too early to get started with spring cleaning, and there's nowhere better to start than your carpet and upholstery. Zero Risk uses empowered water, leaving your carpets and upholstery clean with zero residue behind. And they even clean air ducts. Call now for 3 rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for just $129. Call 651-779-8888. That's 651-779-8888. Zero Risk, the right way to clean.
Hi, this is Kathy Hauser. And I want you to join me for my show, The Radio Cafe, every Saturday at 2 o'clock here on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive talk station. The Radio Cafe is like having a good conversation in your local independent coffee shop. Speaking of which, Radio Cafe is sponsored by Amore Coffee, 917 Grand Avenue, St. Paul, and soon to be open in West St. Paul at 879 Smith Avenue. So listen and join Saturday, 2 o'clock, The Radio Cafe.
I'm Colleen Buckman.
And I'm Susan Shahada with Raising the Consciousness, Sundays at 1 p.m. Join us for our next big event, a kirtan or sacred chanting concert with internationally touring musician Dave Stringer.
Saturday, April 24th, 8 p.m. at Old Arizona Theater in Uptown Minneapolis. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. For more information, go to raisingtheconsciousness.com.
McHale from Out of the Box Radio. It's been a challenging time for a lot of people. Where do you turn? What resource people do you contact when you're not sure how to get your bills paid? When there's not enough money to go around? When you cannot make ends meet? Join us on Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. for Out of the Box Radio.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two Minnesotan Chippewa tribes, the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa. The Boys Fort Band of Chippewa was awarded a $1 million grant for economic development near their Vermilion Lake Reservation. And the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa received a $1 million grant to fund a Head Start daycare facility, which will open in early summer 2009. This funding will allow many more children the opportunity to participate in these valuable early childhood opportunities. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
Welcome back to Socially Responsible Investing. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. You know, before we went to the break, we talked about various terms that have to do with socially responsible investing. And certainly my goal over these next number of weeks and months is going to be to explore different aspects and different opportunities for investors in these areas that are broadly called socially responsible investing. The term itself, as we've just talked about, has a lot to do with us taking responsibility. That's the social responsibility part, is our taking responsibility to place our money where our values are. And it's very important to consider your values in doing so, so that you know where you should put your money. Seems like a straight line conclusion, but it gets very difficult because we all look at investing from a couple of different points of view. Either the old fear and greed paradigm, we want to make as much money as we can as quickly as possible, or we're afraid to be in the market at all because we might lose money. And that is always going to be the paradigm that we face, the paradox, I should say, that we face with investing. With socially responsible investing, this gives us an opportunity to make some distinctions and take some emotion out and think about what our values are and what's important to us. And then think about how does that affect the broader areas in our life, not just our money, but certainly on this show, we're talking about how it affects your money, affects your money in the area of investing. And today we have as our guest Peter DeSimone, who is a director of programs for the Social Investment Forum in Washington, D.C. And I have two questions for you. The first is, how did you deal with the recent blizzards?
I spent a lot of time working from home. As a lot of folks did here in the Washington area, I know the federal government themselves were closed for 6 days.
A lot of people happy about that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And what does the Social Investment Forum do?
We're the U.S. National Nonprofit Membership Association for professionals, SRI funds, and organizations dedicated to advancing the practice of socially responsible investing.
Okay, the U.S. Nonprofit Membership Association. So who would join this would be mutual fund companies that are socially responsible, so-called?
Correct.
And individuals and maybe other foundations or institutions?
Yeah, there's a broad range of firms. So there's public pension funds and social responsible investment funds, of course, but also there are investment professionals who help individual investors decide upon their research, their investment strategy.
Right.
And research organizations who, of course, do research for the SRI funds of the field.
And my understanding is that you kind of have two branches to your company. Is that correct?
We do. We have a nonprofit foundation that's dedicated to doing research in this area. And providing education to the public. And then, of course, we have the forum itself, which is a membership association, which is involved in a lot of advocacy work on behalf of its members here in Washington.
Well, I have the impression that this is a pretty major opportunity for people that want to learn more about socially responsible investing. And I will have their website on my website, the link to their website, socialinvestmentforum.org, as I recall.
It's socialinvest.org.
Socialinvest.org. Thank you. So, into the topic. What the heck is the difference between socially responsible investing and regular investing for most investors?
Sure, it's a great question. Socially responsible investing is different from mainstream investing in as much as that it integrates environmental, social, and corporate governance criteria into the investment model. So in addition to looking at things like financial performance, SRI firms also take into consideration the performance of companies on all of these issues when investing.
Okay. SRI stands for?
Socially responsible investment.
Right.
Or
so
investing.
When we use, and I'll use this abbreviation on the show a lot is SRI, but let's make sure people understand that we're talking about a particular approach to investing. And people that invest this way, you mentioned environmental, social, and governance. The acronym ESG sometimes can be seen in print. And so what are those three things?
Sure. ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance criteria. And sometimes people also refer to that as sustainability or sustainability issues.
Okay.
And so what we're talking about there is a broad range of issues from climate change to labor and human rights, And the corporate governance field, we're talking about how companies are governed themselves. So we're talking about the company's board, who's on the board. Does the board represent a diverse, the diversity that's in broader society? How much does the CEO get paid, and the issues such as those?
That's very interesting, I'm sure, to everybody.
Yeah, no, especially CEO pay has been a very contentious issue as of late, as you know, because of the financial crisis.
No question. Okay, and if people want to invest in socially responsible investing, you have some research on your website that would help them sift through the different issues or the different opportunities?
We do. We have a mutual fund performance chart. So your listeners could just go out there. They could go out there right now and check out the mutual funds that our members offer. And what they could see on there is a number of things. First of all, they could see how the fund performed over the past year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And in addition to that, they could look at how the fund approaches socially responsible investing. So the individual could get a sense of whether or not the socially responsible investment fund is a fund that really reflects their values or what their social or environmental goals might be.
Are these mutual fund companies, you mentioned members, are they somehow or another sponsored by your institution?
Well, there are members, so they pay membership dues to be part of the social investment forum.
But they're separate companies. They have nothing to do with the social investment forum.
Correct. They're separate. They're independent companies.
Okay.
And, yeah, we're nonprofits, so, yeah, we don't have investment funds.
Very good. Very good. So more like a clearinghouse.
Absolutely. We're a membership association for them, so we provide them with resources, and we try to educate the public about what socially responsible investing is all about. And we try to also dispel a lot of myths out there. For example, a big one is that in order to invest with your values or to invest in SRI funds, you need to sacrifice performance. And in fact, most SRI funds beat their benchmarks that they have over the past year.
Now, as I recall, you have a report on your website that speaks specifically to those reporting numbers. And who was it that that did the reporting?
As far as the mutual fund performance chart and the analysis that we did,
yes.
We did the analysis ourselves here in-house. But we used data, and we used definitions for the fund's benchmarks from Thomson Reuters.
I see. Very good. Good third-party company.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We wanted that third-party objectivity. We had Thomson Reuters independently assess the funds to see what would be good benchmarks and good comparisons for performance for them when we did the analysis. So that's why we brought that data in.
All right, and tell me a little bit about your role, Peter.
I'm the director of programs here, so I head up a number of our programs, including our policy and advocacy work here at the forum. We also have a media program that seeks to reach out to, of course, newspapers, radio stations, and publications to try to raise the profile of socially responsible investing in the minds of Americans across the United States here.
Oh, that's very good. I'd like to thank you for being on our program today, Peter. It's Peter DeSimone is the Director of Programs for the Social Investment Forum in Washington, D.C. And how's the snow situation now?
It's a lot warmer today. It's in the 40s here. We have a lot of melting going on. So we're on the recovery here.
Outstanding. Peter, thank you very much. And we will take a break. And when we come back for our next segment of the show, we will take questions that have been raised by listeners and emailed into us regarding socially responsible investing and other investment issues such as that. I'd love to hear your questions, what you think is important about socially responsible investing, and my phone number is 612-371-7859. My email address is michael.w.mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, at rbc.com. Give me a shout. I am Mike Mullins. I am the host of Socially Responsible Investing on AM 950 KTNF.
There are just certain times in life when jewelry can help you save what you want without saying anything at all. Maybe it's a celebration, an anniversary, a milestone. Aurora Jewelers will help you say what you want to say and make the moment memorable. Aurora Jewelers will help you create or select that special jewelry that expresses personal identity and captures the moment. Aurora Jewelers. Express yourself. Express your love. Aurora Jewelers. Across from the Eden Prairie Mall or visit online at AuroraJewelers.com.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no auto warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Automobile Coverage of America has announced a revolutionary low-cost vehicle coverage plan that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call for a free five-minute quote.
To see if you qualify, the number is 800-635-90. 83.
Drivers who are covered by this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair bill again out of their own pockets. Now we pay the bill directly for you. This is the auto coverage that is sweeping across the nation. That's a fraction of the cost that dealerships are charging. Drivers who activate this auto warranty coverage today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and free car rental at no additional cost.
The number to call is 800-635-9083. 800-635-9083. Again, 800-635-9083.
There's no need to completely remodel the tile in your kitchen, patio, bathroom, or any room. Let Dick, the Grout Doctor, help you renew your existing tile grout to its natural beauty. The Grout Doctor can seal your grout or recolor it to better match your tile or natural stone. Let the professionals do the dirty work so you don't have to. We re-grout, clean, repair, seal, or recolor any tile grout. Contact Dick at 651-261-3626. That's 651-261-3626.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two Minnesotan Chippewa tribes, the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa. The Boys Fort Band of Chippewa was awarded a $1 million grant for economic development near their Vermilion Lake Reservation. And the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa received a $1 million grant to fund a Head Start daycare facility, which will open in early summer 2009. This funding will allow many more children the opportunity to participate in these valuable early childhood opportunities. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
When you support the advertisers that support this station, you're doing a good thing. Not only are you supporting local small businesses, you're investing in your community and the future of this great state. And if for some reason you find a business that doesn't advertise on AM 950, tell them that they're missing out on the most influential and loyal listeners in the Twin Cities. For a complete list of businesses that support this station, or to find out how you can get an AM 950 bumper sticker, visit am950ktnf.com.
AM 950 weather brought to you now by Coborn's Delivers. Waking up to a sunny weekend. High today, 38. Clear tonight, low 23. Warmer tomorrow with sunshine and a high of 47. Watch for some possible flooding downtown Shakopee and downtown St. Paul. Why head to the store in the rain when you can visit CobornsDelivers.com and shop from home? New customers get $25 off an order of $100 plus free delivery till March 31st. Use promo code AM950-25.
You're listening to the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. I'd like to remind you again of my website address. It's www.michaelwmullins.com. That's michaelwmullins.com. I've arranged this website to be as user-friendly as possibly imaginable, and I'm continuing to improve it. On my homepage, you would see my personal video and a link to that. It's 137 seconds long. And really, I encourage you, I'll just ask you straight out, please look at my personal video. I would like for you to get to know me so that you'll feel comfortable so I can get to know you. This show is intended to be about you, and it's intended to be about how we can talk about finding value and investing, and at the same time, work to align your values with your money. And you can improve your world one ethical, socially responsible choice at a time. That's the goal of each one of the shows that we've done and we will continue to do. My phone number is 612 371-7859. That is my work number. I work for RBC Wealth Management in Minneapolis, and that is my number, 371-7859. I'd look forward to seeing your emails and reading questions that you may have about investing and comments as well. And if you go to my website, michaelwmullins.com, you'll find a connection there. Contact me. It'll go right to my email. It's easy, it's simple, and it's free. Now, briefly, before I enter a couple of questions I've received by emails, I want to tell you just a little quick story about why socially responsible investing and values have anything in common. My wife's name is Wendy, and when she was a college student, her father bought her a car. He bought it from a friend of his that he knew socially who owned it. It was a Volkswagen, and this guy actually owned a Volkswagen dealer as well. And my father-in-law undoubtedly saw this as an opportunity to get a good deal, kind of cut out the middleman a little bit, you know, not have to pay a sales charge or commission, what have you. And so he went ahead and bought the car based on this guy's presumed integrity and reputation. Well, you know the rest of the story. 2 days later, the car broke down on the Van Nuys Freeway in the L.A. area. At that time, she was a student at USC. And she had to hoof it off the freeway through neighborhoods that she wasn't familiar with to a gas station where she was able to call someone who could come and help her. Now, 3 years ago, I bought a used car myself. And I went online, and I went to CarSoup, and I looked for all the different places that had the model I was interested in. I was able to shop for the color. I was able to shop for the miles. I was able to sort of make some kind of a judgment about how good of a deal I would get if I bought the car with the certain features. Then, once I located the car and I got the vehicle identification number, I was able to run a search on Carfax to find out what this car's history was as far as repairs or accidents, maintenance records, all of which I was able to find. I did actually go ahead and buy that car. I'm still driving it today. I'm very happy with it. Back in the day when my father-in-law was looking at that Volkswagen, if he had had Carfax available, found out that the car had a lousy maintenance record and that, in fact, it had broken down before and it had major repairs and it was chronically in the shop. One of those lemons that we all dread finding. You know, once you have the ability to do better research, once you have the means to see more deeply into something that you want to buy, so that it will bring value to your life, it will provide the means to something, in this particular case, for her transportation. This is what socially responsible investing screens can do for you. When you're looking at investing in, let's say, a mutual fund, you may say, I'd like to have a mutual fund that's going to make me more money so that in the future I'll have more money than I have now. Well, of course, that's what we all want to do when we invest. These days, every mutual fund company does fundamental research on companies that they want to have in the portfolio. They look at their balance sheet. They look at this financial issue. They look at these other things having to do with their product and their service. But nowadays, there are ways for companies to be viewed through a socially responsible investing lens. There are some words that get used that I'll work on defining in the future called environmental, social, and governance issues. The little acronym is ESG issues. These issues more and more are being used by mutual fund companies and managers as they look at potential stocks they want to put into their portfolio or bonds. And this is an important thing to do. And just remember, it's just like going to Carfax. If you have the opportunity to invest in a mutual fund that's giving you extra information, what's the downside? I mean, once you know that you've got this available, you may as well act. Now, Dr. Sullivan, the interview we just heard, actually was not specifically about socially responsible investing, as you undoubtedly know, because we didn't talk about that in the interview. But it's about investing, and as I say, using additional screens can really be helpful to you in finding a way to align your values with your money. Here's a question from Christina in Minnetonka. She says, I got a late start in my 401k. Then the market took a dive. What are the best catch-up investment opportunities? I can't start there by saying, well, gosh, it's going to be the ABZ company or the XYZ fund. That's the wrong place to start for anybody. In fact, on this show, I actually cannot, by regulation, mention specific investment ideas, such as an individual stock or the name of a mutual fund. You and I need to talk about that directly because I need to find out who you are and whether or not one particular suggestion or another is more or less appropriate for you. Now, to Christina's question, I got a late start in my 401k, then the market took a dive. What are the best catch-up investment opportunities? The only way that Christina is going to be able to make that decision is, first of all, she's got to create a plan. She needs to know where she wants to end up so she can decide how she's going to get there. Once she decides how she's going to get there, then there are a number of product-y type choices a person can make. As you know, with investing, there are individual stocks, there are individual bonds. There are mutual funds of all kinds of stripes. There are what's called an open-end mutual fund is what most people are familiar with. It's got some kind of a management fee attached to it that the managers charge. It may or may not have a sales charge, depending if it's a no-load or if you buy it through an advisor or sometimes CPAs sell these things as well, or planners. You need to find out what your risk tolerance is, what your time horizon is. As I spoke of earlier, investing has a relationship to your lifestyle expense, and it has a relationship to your cash and reserves. And once you have your lifestyle and your cash and reserves under control and doing what they're supposed to do, you can talk about being an investor for the long term. Now, most of us have access to some kind of retirement plans, 401k, a 403b, a SEP, a SEP IRA, a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA. All of these are called qualified investments, broadly speaking, qualified to be exempt from current tax. Non-qualified would be an investment that you might have that gets a normal tax treatment every year. So qualified investments and a 401k have the advantage of not being taxed as far as their gain goes, but this still needs to be the right blend to help you get to where you want to go. And it has to be the right blend of stocks and bonds, typically in a 401k, that's going to allow you to be able to sleep at night. Volatility is your friend on the upside, it's your enemy on the downside, and not surprisingly, most people really, really dislike downside volatility even more than they like upside volatility. So we have to be careful with that. Now, after that, we need to look for solid companies or a good mutual fund that invests in solid companies. And if you're looking on the growth side, you may be looking for up-and-coming industries. We'll be talking about those kinds of industries next week. We'll be talking about investing in gold. And the next week after that, we'll be talking about investing in companies and mutual funds that have something to do with the water shortage. Not that they caused it, but they are investing in companies and industries that are working to solve, cure, or deal with the severe water shortage we have in the world. And that's what I hope Christina will do, was talk to me about creating a plan. We can assign a risk tolerance via the questionnaire that we use that'll help us determine that. We'll look at her time horizon, how long she's got before she needs to use this money, all of which are hugely important pieces of information to help us make a plan. Shane in Eden Prairie says, with all of the experts giving different advice and changing that advice weekly, what is a small investor to do? Needless to say, when you're reading some expert piece of advice or you're watching a TV show where somebody's talking about what you should do, or you're watching one of those shows where they're giving stock tips or the sector of the day or those kinds of things, keep in mind that their agenda is not your agenda. Your agenda has everything to do with your life. Their suggestions to you are so broad as to be, well, frankly, they get to the point where they're irrelevant if they're not in an area that's going to help you with your life. So first of all, focus on yourself. Focus on what's important to you. Start with your time horizon. As I say again, your lifestyle and your cash reserves need to be in place. And then you can think about your investing. If you're doing your investing in a retirement plan, that's great. That's where most of us have access to that kind of long-term investing. So you need to focus on your goals. You need to focus on where you want to get to and how long you have until you get there. Frankly, if you're 40 years old, chances are good that you've got a quarter century to work. you got 25 or 30 years or longer to be a wage earner, you can afford to write out the bumps and bruises that come with investing in the marketplace. However, if you're 55 years or older, you're getting a little short. Likelihood of you being able to replace big losses with new income and new contributions, common sense says, gets less and less the closer you get to the time when you're going to have to retire. So you need to be a little careful about those things, obviously. Creating a written plan is important. If you'll go to my website, www.michaelwmullins.com, on the navigation tabs on the left side, you'll see one that says An American Legacy. And one of the things that I think is so important to really realize is we all leave a legacy at the end of our days. The question is, what legacy will you leave? Creating a realistic plan for your later years is the most crucial step. How do you create this kind of a plan? First, we must address the emotions we all feel about getting older and passing on. And we must realize that planning for later years does not predict one's passing, but prepares a legacy, a heritage for those who remain. Second, you need to find a sound, thorough, and brisk process for creating a written investment plan. And I have an investment planning process that does those things, plus it's convenient. There's no fee for this planning service, but I seek an investment relationship with those who utilize my process. And please email me, send me a message, give me a call, and let me know you'd like to have a conversation about that. All right, in our final chapter today, we will be reviewing some investment opportunities in these areas. We will be talking about some chances that you would have to sign up for my newsletter. I have a few other pieces I'm going to talk about in that segment, and then we will wrap up the show. Again, this is Michael Mullins. I am your host for the Social Responsible Investing Show right here on AM 950, and we will be back in a minute or two.
He'd have been dead a long time ago. But you see, he's on that government plan, the one that the Congress has. And even though he's not a paid government employee anymore, he's still sucking the tit of the government. And he's in there getting absolute best care from multiple doctors, and they're probably going to keep his heart going a little bit longer.
The Ed Schultz Show, weekdays from 11 to 2 on AM 950 KTNF.
When you support the advertisers that support this station, you're doing a good thing. Not only are you supporting local small businesses, you're investing in your community and the future of this great state. And if for some reason you find a business that doesn't advertise on AM 950, tell them that they're missing out on the most influential and loyal listeners in the Twin Cities. For a complete list of businesses that support this station, or to find out how you can get an AM 950 bumper sticker, visit am950ktnf.com.
Davis Tuesday for the Big Brain Radio Show. You know, the Big Brain Radio Show is expressing how all of us are big brains and how we can maximize our forward action days in our life. On the show, there's been the law of manifestation, the law of balance. One of my favorites is the law of appreciation. The law of appreciation is about raising your value, having more value in your life. Every day, sit down and look at the things you appreciate in your life. Don't judge them, just appreciate them and see how powerful the law of appreciation is.
Saturdays from 11 to noon on AM 950.
Common Good Books has been a closely guarded St. Paul's secret for years, but book lovers from all over are discovering that Garrison Keillor's bookstore is, well, above average. Conveniently tucked away in the lower level of the Blair Arcade on the corner of Western and Selby in St. Paul, and online at commongoodbooks.com. Common Good Books features an excellent selection of hand-picked books, from classic American literature to the best political reads. And remember, live local, read large.
If you want a more empowered sex life, you'll find the tools and resources at the Smitten Kitten, the Twin Cities award-winning sex toy and supply shop. Visit smittenkittenonline.com to shop from home and learn about our world-class educational workshops and events. The Smitten Kitten is open to everyone, welcoming new customers daily in Uptown south of Lake on Lindale. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, Sunday noon to 7. The Smitten Kitten, the world's leader in environmentally friendly, body-safe sex toys and supplies.
Are you an inventor? Or do you know an inventor who would like free inventor's information? Call InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, and learn how to get your free information. Call toll-free 1-800-549-5225. That's 1-800-549-5225. You'll learn how to attempt to patent your idea and submit it to industry. Call 1-800-549-5225. That's 1-800-549-5225.
Give me one good reason for sticking around with
it's Mike Mullins back with the Socially Responsible Investing Show, and the music you're hearing, you just heard the voice of Laura Caviani. Laura Caviani is a good friend of ours, a tremendous jazz musician. She plays a lot around town, a good personal friend of our family, and she graciously has allowed me to include her wonderful jazz music in the show. If you will go to her website, it's www.laura, L-A-U-R-A, Caviani, C-A-V as in Victor, I-A-N as in Nancy, I.com. That's Laura Caviani, C-A-V-I-A-N-I.com. And the music that you hear in and out of our breaks is featured on one of the albums that you'll find on that webpage. And I certainly would encourage you to go listen to all of her music. And when you see that she's playing, make sure that you go out to see Laura Caviani. She's just terrific. Okay, in this final chapter, I want to talk a little bit about ways to invest in socially responsible investing. Again, if you'll go to my website, it's www.michaelwmullins.com. Now, if you'll go ahead and put that in your browser and then save it or bookmark it, it'll be easy for you to hop back to whenever you want to see what's going on. I update every week. The upcoming show is on the navigation tab that says AM 950 Radio Show. If you go on to the AM 950 website, you'll also find me there, and there's a link that will pop you right back to this this RBC Wealth Management website. On the Ethical Sustainable Investing tab, you will see a link to www.socialfunds.com, S-O-C-I-A-L-F-U-N-D-S.com, just like it sounds. And this is a great way for you to start to get familiar with some of the issues that are being talked about in the socially responsible investing world. Now, many of you know that the phrase socially responsible investing is sort of a dated phrase, and there are a lot of other words and terms being used right now, such as environmental, social, governance issues, or ESG. And some websites are now talking about, instead of socially responsible investing, they're saying sustainable responsible investing. It's still SRI, but it's a broader definition, and we will get to all of this as time goes by. Also on the Ethical Sustainable Investing tab, you'll see a link to the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, and it's on the website, www.sustainability-indexes.com. It's a great list of companies that meet the criteria for being good corporate neighbors. They are dealing with or have dealt with their environmental issues for where their factories or plants are. They're dealing with their social issues that have everything to do with workforce, to whether or not they displace indigenous peoples, et cetera, that kind of thing. And the governance side is very, very important. And in the first segment, I talked about how 60 companies have signed on to a voluntary agreement to make sure that they solicit the opinions of their shareholders and stakeholders when it comes to executive compensation at least once a year. Honestly, a lot of people were very, very offended over this last year, year and a half, by hearing about some very large financial services companies that gave unbelievable large amounts of money to executives. Those people in the financial services business may understand that there's a need to retain your top talent by giving them bonuses because somebody else wants to hire them at the same amount or bigger amount of money. The problem is not the bonuses. The problem is the process of making those kinds of decisions. Frankly, if shareholders have a chance to have information about that, sometimes they may end up changing a policy, and hopefully it would be a change for the better for everybody in the company and not just the executives. Socially responsible investing is a strategy among many strategies. It's not focused on the size of the companies, be that large cap. It's not focused on a particular sector. It's not focused on whether it's U.S. companies or whether they're international companies. It's focused on a strategy, as I said earlier about the car story in the last chapter. It's about having the capability to look deeper into the behaviors of companies that we might want to invest in. Even if you're investing in mutual funds, those mutual fund companies may or may not be using those kinds of screens. There is the Social Investment Forum. It's a website that's called Social, S-O-C-I-A-L, investmentforum.org, O-R-G. You can just go socialinvest.org. Recently, they released a report that said two-thirds of socially responsible mutual funds outperformed benchmarks during the 2009 economic downturn and recovery. The verdict on SRI mutual fund performance is in. A review of 160 socially responsible mutual funds from 22 members of the Social Investment Forum finds that the vast majority of the funds, 65%, outperformed their benchmarks in calendar year 2009, and most by significant margins. These SRI funds topped benchmarks across nearly all asset classes, which includes balanced funds, large cap funds, small cap and global funds, as well as bond funds. Cap, by the way, for those of you who may not be familiar with that term, is shorthand for the word capitalization. There's a way that companies are ranked by size in indexes such as the Standard & Poor's 500 Index, also known as the S&P 500. And those companies are ranked by the dollar value of their outstanding securities, the ones that they have that trade in the marketplace. So large cap funds, mid cap funds, small cap funds, that kind of makes sense in that regard. The performance data was analyzed by the Social Investment Forum, and it covered all of 2009, and it was provided, the data was provided by an independent third party, Thomson Reuters. Particular standouts on socially responsible mutual fund performance were the 73 large cap funds, the largest single category a Social Investment Forum member funds, where nearly three out of four, 72.6%, outperformed the S&P 500. Nearly three out of four. Haven't you heard that, gee, if I invest in a socially responsible mutual fund, I'm going to have to give up performance. They can't possibly do as well because they're so restrictive. That's old information, folks. The new information is 72.6% of socially responsible funds, by definition, by their own definition, outperformed their benchmark. That's darn good numbers. You have to be careful, obviously, about the kind of fund you pick to make sure that it matches what you need to have in your investment portfolio. But rest assured that there's a lot of good opportunities there. Now, I want to remind you once again that I would love to get to know you better. I need to see some emails from you all. I need questions. I need comments. And it's michaelwmullins.com, 612-371-7859. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can request reports. I have reports on this mutual fund list that I just mentioned to you. I can get that list to you. We have a newsletter called Strategies and Insights that comes out quarterly from our firm, and it's very good. And it's a good update to keep you up to date with the kind of the bigger picture. It's a good overview and review of what a person might need to do and think about when they're getting ready for retirement. Next week, the topic is gold. Is it a good investment? Is it an ethical investment? What's the answer? Yes or no? Well, the answer is yes and no. Both sides. And I'll let you in on the secret of how that works. Our interview is with Stephen Walker, who is a director of mining research for RBC. We'll see ya.
Hi, Nancy Nelson here, inviting you to join.
Weather brought to you by Zero Resin. We are looking at mostly cloudy skies tonight. 22 for your overnight low and not warming up much tomorrow, Saturday. Although it will be sunny, we are expecting a high of only 38 degrees. A little bit warmer on Sunday, though. Sunshine and 47. Zero Res uses empowered water to get your carpets cleaner with zero residue. Zero Res is a green cleaner that won't harm your pets or your little ones. With Zero Res, your carpets will stay cleaner longer.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. President Obama huddles with Democratic lawmakers this afternoon for a strategy session on passing health care reform. CNN's Ed Henry.
He's going to call the House.